Our speaker today is not a stranger. How many this is your first time really seeing Jacoby? Can I see some hands? Okay. How many of you already know Jacoby? You know him pretty well. You know him. Okay, great. So you got some folks here that know you and some that don't. The ones that don't know you, that's a blessing. It's a benefit. Now come on up here with me, son. 22 years old, graduated from Lemon Bay High School. I met him. I didn't know he was coming. It was in a summer, 3 or 4 summers ago at least. And he was sitting over here somewhere. And I was going through a series on helping you get up. Get back up in your life. And I guess he had come through the services here and he was struggling. Like a lot of us struggle from time to time. I didn't know all that. We had communion maybe a couple of weeks later. And he approached me after communion. We always have communion in front of the crosses. He came up to me and I could see tears in his eyes. And I didn't know him, but I was drawn to him. And I, you know, just loved on him, put my arm around him. I wanted to help him, whatever he needed. And so I invited him to go to lunch with me the next day. Can we meet? Can we go to Farlow's or something like that? And come to find out, he's a big moocher. So I got, you know, boom. Boom. I mean, I was in. It was all right. It was game on. So that's how I started getting to know Jacoby Bartlett. And saw his faith in Christ get firmed up. Spent a little time with him. I didn't spend a little time with him. I spent a lot of time with you. And actually, I saw something in him that I thought God could really use this young man. And, you know, I've been wrong before, but I thought God could use this young man. And so I started mentoring him and letting him just be my shadow. And everywhere we went, and I found out, well, I started seeing that he's a lot like me. Good looking. And he also, big personality, and he loves people. Say it out loud. He what? He loves people. And I saw that in him. And God is looking for people that will love people. God's looking for people that will love people and share the love of Christ with people. And so God just started growing him. And it's been about a 3-year process. Since then, he's been blessed to, he had a relationship. He's been blessed to tie that knot with Miss Erica. Can we tell Erica we love her? She's right down here. Yay. So, he's teaching the young adults class on Friday nights. He's also teaching in junior church in the back and sharing Christ with kids on Sunday morning. He's also been sort of shadowing Alex some and Kyle a little bit and just learning. He's also been going to school. We've been helping some with his schooling. And he's just growing, getting stronger and stronger. And we don't know what God's plan is for his future. All I know is I think he's on the right path and God's blessing him. And so now here's his opportunity today to actually preach the word of God at the Fellowship Church in Englewood, Florida. Would you welcome Jacoby Bartlett?
Well, so I was going to take like 5-ish minutes to introduce myself, but I guess I like don't even have to do that now. Okay, all right, here we go. So for those who don't know me, my name's Jacoby. I grew up here in Englewood, Florida, 22 years old. I'm trying, oh my goodness. All right, so there you go. Is that better? All right, sounds good. So I grew up here in Englewood, Florida. I grew up in a rougher home. I didn't grow up knowing Christ at all. You know, I didn't grow up coming to church. My family showed up on Easter and skipped Christmas, all right? And that's where we were. And I found the Lord when I was 19 years old, coming from a lot of stuff that we're going to get into later in this message, right? But me standing here today, I don't deserve any of this. As Sherry said, I was the Walmart guy. I was the guy who just had a smile coming to deliver groceries out of Walmart, and now all of a sudden I'm married and standing up here. Well, that's all glory to God, right? And that's what we're going to get in here today. We're going to talk about the good life. And what does that mean? What does that mean to you, right? Like, so if you went around and you asked people, what is a good life to you? If I had to ask you, what would a good life be? They'd have probably a couple of responses like financial security, a job, maybe an education, right? That I get done with my schooling degree, that's where I'm at, right? And maybe even a healthy family, right? Hopefully I get through this year and don't get sick. Any of the above, right? That's how we would label a good life. Just the issue with that is that every single one of those things can be taken away. You know, we can lose a job, Education doesn't mean anything after a while, right? You lose all your money, and then heaven forbid we die, because one day we will, right? And so if we base the good life off of these things, if we base the good life off these circumstances, then the second that those things go away, what happens? The good life disappears, right? And what goes away with the good life? The joy. Our joy disappears the second the good life's gone. Because why? I mean, who doesn't want a life of ease, right? Like, I'll be honest with you, I'm entering adulthood and it ain't fun. Who didn't warn me about this stuff, right? Like, we got bills now. I mean, come on, guys. You know, I should have known about this. But, so the good life is like, I don't have any bills anymore. That's what I'm trying to tell you, right? But the issue with that is that those are all based on our circumstances, right? And what if the good life isn't based on our comfort? What if the good life isn't based on what we possess? What if the good life isn't based on whether or not our prayers are answered, whether or not we're blessed in this life? What if the good life is placed on something else that is far more valuable, right? And so today we're going to be talking about the treasure. And this treasure ties directly into the good life. The good life is in this treasure. And so the scriptures that I'm going to read today is from the book of Matthew. We're going into Matthew chapter 13 here, verses 44 through 46. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy it, the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." So in both of these stories, we see two men, right? We see two men, each one has a story of their own. And they say, man, I sold everything to get this one thing, right? One had a pearl, one found a treasure in a field, right? And so this thing was of such great value that they were willing to sell everything, not just some things. They gave up everything for this one thing, right? This thing basically became their life. They gave up their education. They gave up all their money. They gave up everything they had in order to possess this one thing. And so the key to finding out what the good life is and what the Bible defines the good life is the key to figuring out what this treasure is, right? And right here it says that the kingdom of God is like, right? So like that's Jesus talking there. But it's like, what does that even mean? And so we're going to get into that today. All right. So next point I have for us is the treasure discovered. And before I get too deep into this, a lot of people in my Bible study group, so I lead the Luke Bible study group for the young adults right now, and that's the book we're in, which is like a big turning point for me, because if you knew me, we're not there yet, Raj. We're at the treasure discovered. Sorry. Come on, Raj. If you know me, all right, I love the Apostle Paul. All right? He's one of the greatest missionaries of all time. They say that Paul traveled over 10,000 miles to spread the gospel. I mean, how awesome is that, right? But also, just the simple fact that Paul wrote 13 out of the 27 books in the New Testament. I mean, that's amazing. So basically, what we're reading, this guy wrote. I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? But also, for one reason I like Paul is because he'll tell you straight up to your face how it is. I mean, he even rebuked the Apostle Peter. Dude, this guy is a man, if I've ever seen one, right? So I just love the Apostle Paul. And so my Bible study always jokes me because they're like, oh, we're going to do another Paul book today, right? Oh, next Friday is another Paul book. I'm like, I love this guy. But where I'm getting at is this guy, Paul, has found the treasure. This guy, Paul, knows what the treasure is. This guy, Paul, has the good life. And how gracious are we? He explains exactly what it is. Now you can throw those up, Roger. Thank you. Oh, come on, Roger. What are we doing? All right, so Philippians 3, that's where we're getting into today. All right, Philippians 3, verses 1 through 11. All right, thank you. So this is Paul writing. Paul is writing this from jail. All All right, so just put that into perspective. He's writing this stuff from jail. And he says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. So right here, he's rebuking people, right? So people were going back, and they were saying, well, yeah, you got to put your faith in Christ, but you also got to follow the law to be saved, right? And Paul's like, no, watch out for those people. They're evil. That's not what that means, right? And so verse number 3, he says, for we worship by the Spirit of God, but we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could put confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reasons for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. So basically, people are boasting about how good they followed the law before they found Christ and how good they're following the law right now, right? And so Paul looks at these people and he says, what are y'all doing? Don't you understand that if anybody could boast, it could be me? And we're going to get into a second why. So if you look at verse number 5, this is exactly where Paul is telling us why he would be able to boast. He says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blood citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. So that entire paragraph right there explains exactly why Paul, out of everybody, could have been the one to boast. Right? So those first two there, where he talks about, I was circumcised at 8 days old. I'm a pure blood citizen of Israel, if there ever was one, a real Hebrew. He's talking about, he basically followed the law to a T, right? He followed the law as much as you could basically follow the law, right? And so if you look there too, he says, I was a Pharisee. I'm on a different verse here. But but he was a Pharisee, right? So he was a Pharisee who demanded and he had the utmost respect, right? Because the Pharisees at the time were the religious teachers. So they studied for years. I mean, imagine like a big time scientist, right? How long they got to study to work on a rocket, right? That's basically what's happening here. That's how intelligent these people were in the religious aspect, right? They devoted their whole life to studying this. And then right there at the end, he says, I also followed the law without fault. Sorry, Roger, I'm getting all over the place. So I'll continue reading these verses. It says, I once thought these things were value, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have disregarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. All right, you can throw the next part up there. So Paul was a Pharisee. He had basically the job you want, right? He had all the education. He was very honored. He was respected. Paul had the good life, according to earth standards, right? So Paul had a good life. One of the greatest religious teachers in all of the above. But something made Paul count it all as worthless, right? Something made Paul, just like the two men before, sell everything in order to obtain this one thing. And that one thing was Jesus Christ. He said, I counted it all as worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So the good life is not in what we have. It's not in our accomplishments. It's not in our blessings. But the good life is in one thing, the treasure, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only. Right? And so Paul doesn't just say that Jesus makes his life better, right? He's not like, well, I have this education, and now that I have Jesus, my life's all good. Well, no, he says everything else is basically worthless when compared to this. So it didn't just make my life better, it made my life, right? And Jesus becomes his life Jesus becomes the one thing that he holds on to for the rest of his life. And how awesome is that? That we know the treasure, the good life, isn't in our blessings. The treasure and the good life is not in anything else except for Christ. I mean, how blessed are we that that can even happen? Right? That it doesn't matter if my car breaks down or not. I'm still having a good life because I have Christ. That's what that means. Right? And so Christianity isn't a religion. It's not a relationship where you just get from God. Right? So, I'm going to become a Jesus so my life gets better. Oh, gosh. It doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. Christianity is a religion where God has already given us everything. God has already given us the good life. God has already given us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Right? And so that's what makes the good life. I mean, how awesome is it that we get to have a relationship with the living God? And yet we get so worked up on all the little crap in our life that it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Do I not understand that Jesus Christ died for me? Do I not understand how much He loves me? That I don't have to perish in hell. And you know, if we came into Christianity, maybe you've been into Christianity a while, maybe you're new here today, and you come in here thinking that accepting Christ or showing up to church on Sunday is going to get you a good life, and earthly blessings is going to help you with your education, or it's going to, you know, any of the above, make your marriage good. Right? Well, then what happens when it doesn't? What happens when you've got a rocky marriage? What happens when you got to put that work in? What happens when you don't pass those finals for your education? Oh, now we're just going to turn and blame God, huh? Right? Oh, God, how could you do this to me? And it's like, how foolish are we? Because we base our relationship with God off what we have. We base our relationship with God of what He's trying to give us right now rather than what He's already given us. I mean, God has given us everything. Is Jesus Christ's death not enough for you? Of course it's enough. Why? Because I don't have to perish in hell. Because everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Right? And so, one of the verses that always is about. It's a lot of people's favorite verse. A favorite verse, you know, Bible verse getting thrown up and all that stuff. And when I first became a Christian, I took this Bible verse out of context. And this verse has to do with the good in our life. And it's Romans 8:28, okay? And it says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. All right, so the way I took this out of context, I was like, man, if I just love God, He's going to give me everything. Oh, man, God loves me. That means I'm going to get that brand new BMW. Come on. I mean, how foolish was I, right? That's not at all what this means. I mean, what if the good in that Bible verse doesn't mean a good life of earthly blessings? It doesn't mean that you're going to have all the money in the world. But what if the good in that Bible verse means that through everything, God is going to bring you into His presence? What if the good in that Bible verse means through everything, He's going to be there with us? And through the suffering, we can have sure confidence that He is going to deepen a relationship with us if we let Him. Right? That's where the good life is. The good life is not in what we have. It's not in whether or not my car breaks down or not. The good life is in the simple fact that I know in everything, God is using everything to bring me closer to Him and to a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him. He's using everything to make me more like Him. And I mean, how awesome is a promise like that? I'm serious, like that is the treasure. You're telling me that like I can get more like Christ and get to know Him more? Amen. Right? Amen. That is awesome. I mean, God's greatest gift is not that we're comfortable. It's not that our life's easy. It's that we become more like Him. It's that we get to know Him more. Right? Like, and we, our flesh just twists. It's so easy to where it's like, well, God doesn't love me because He doesn't give me everything. No, God loves you more. He's trying to bring you right back to Him. He's trying to get you to look through the pain. He's trying to get you to look through the fire, as that song said. And He's trying to get you to see Him. Because he's trying to get you to understand our relationship is what matters. My son is who matters. I want you to come to him. Right? And we, how awesome is it that we get to have fellowship with God? How awesome is it that we get to build that relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ? And you know, in my own life, I'd like to speak from this verse. I said in the beginning, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up knowing any of this stuff. I didn't read the Bible. I don't know. I was just doing what I was doing, right? And if I would have came to Christianity thinking, you know, God's going to bless my life and that's why I should be here, or I came into church thinking my life's just all going to get better now, it's like the devil would have given me every reason to turn away, right? And so as Pastor Gary said, I came here in 2022 just about this time, right? So I've been a Christian for about 3 to 4 years now, all right? And that first year of me being a Christian was the most toughest year of my life. I'll be straight up. Which is crazy to think because I got into a car accident where I almost died and got flown up to Tampa when I was 15. I was doing a bunch of stuff in high school. I was throwing house parties. I was doing tons of drugs. That was me back in high school. And yet the year I became a Christian was the toughest year of my life. How crazy is that? But my life is supposed to get better. I've got Christ now. Who said? Right? Who said? And so my first year becoming a Christian, I accepted Christ about 3 to 4 years ago, this time in June, July area, right? A month before that, I had lived with a girl for 2.5 years, and she cheated on me with my best friend and moved away the next day. I heard nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. I didn't even know what happened. I just never saw her again. Okay? And then going on with that, me and my dad's relationship was really rocky at the time. I mean, really rocky at the time. And we've never had such a solid relationship. But now it was like, man, I don't even know what's happening. It was not good. And I moved out. I was sleeping on my sister's couch. I literally just had nothing but a backpack of clothes and my computer. And I was just trying to figure out life. Everything had changed the second I had accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Right? It was like I was in a room that was full of garbage and the lights had all of a sudden be flipped on, right? Everything was changing. All the garbage was hitting me right in the face, and I didn't know what happened. And then if you know anything about 2022, we got hit with Hurricane Ian, right? To me, that wasn't the most terrible thing to happen in my life, right? Like, I didn't have a house. It didn't get flooded. My roof didn't cave in. But for some of us, it did, right? And I was out of town, and my grandfather calls me, and he tells me, you know, hey, Kobe, I need your help. I need your help because my house flooded and all this other stuff. And I was out of town for like a week and a half or so. And so the second I get back, I was like, all right, man, I'm in it. I'm going to have to pull weeds. I don't like doing that. We're on it, though, because my grandfather needs help, right? And so I go over to his house to help him. And he sits me down. And he says, he hands me a check and he says, take this and don't tell anybody. And I was like, what are you talking about? And Sorry. And he starts going on about all his regret in his life. And that was on a Wednesday. That Friday, my grandpa took his life. A month before I got baptized, this happened, you know? And if I would have thought Christianity was about having a good life, well, my life just got shattered, you know? And for some reason, that next day, that Saturday, I went to the beach with a photo of him. I prayed. I talked to God. And I was at peace. You know? I couldn't explain it. It was a type of peace that transcended all understanding. It was the joy. I had joy in my life. And you could throw that up there, Roger. I had joy in my life. Right? And I had joy in my life because of Jesus. Because I had given my life to Christ. And my life didn't depend on my circumstances anymore. And so into these next verses, Philippians 4:4-7, it talks about, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience God's presence, which exceeds anything we can understand. His Peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, let this be known. This time in my walk, I didn't read any of these Bible verses. Like, I was reading the Bible app, daily Bible verse. That's all I read. I read comic books in high school. I wasn't reading this thing. All right? And so, I didn't know these Bible verses, but the one thing I knew was Jesus Christ. The one person I had with me was Jesus Christ. I didn't have Pastor Gary at that time to tell me this is what this Bible verse means. I didn't have somebody up here telling me, hey, look, you got to do this, this, this. I had Jesus Christ. And so I had peace that transcended all understanding. And obviously you can tell I wasn't happy in that moment, but I wasn't sad either. I was at peace and I was in the presence of God. And so I urge you today that if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't forget it. Because that is the treasure. If your walk with Christ has gotten stale at this moment in your life, just think back. How can I get over the gospel? How can I get over the simple fact that I can have a relationship with the living God as a sinner? As somebody who doesn't deserve anything that He's given me. And yet I can have a relationship with the one who loves me the most. And if you have not accepted Christ today, I urge you to truly experience what the good life is. To come to Christ today, not because of what He might give you. Not because He's going to bless you and answer all your prayers, but because He's giving you the greatest gift, Himself. Because Jesus Christ is the treasure. Thank you, guys.